We're in chapter Hey of Shoftim, Pasuk 18. Dvora has been expressing her appreciation to all of those who joined the forces of Klal Yisrael against the enemy, those who came and gathered in order to wage war with Sisra, and then on the other hand she has also condemned those who refused to come, and she says that this is something that staggers the imagination. She has no way to explain why there were Jews who didn't volunteer to come to the aid and the assistance of their fellow Jews. And more than that, what she really is saying is that a Jew has to understand that the threat to any other Jew on the face of this earth is a threat to him as well. There's no way for the Jew to say, well, all right, that Jew is endangered, but it's a mere kimtusness. It has nothing to do with me. There is no such thing. The entire Jewish people are considered like the organs of one body. If the hand or the head or another part of the body hurts, then the whole body feels it. Therefore, she wonders why it is that the people of Meroz didn't come. What was it with Reuven? Reuven remained there on the other side of the Yarden and didn't come to the aid of the assistance of his brothers. Don? Lomo Yaguraniyot Don? What was he doing out there on his ships? Osher was sitting at the seashore. On the other hand, Pasuk 18, Zvulun Am Cheref Nafsho Lamud, Zvulun is a people who are ready to sacrifice their lives and die for Klal Yisrael. The Naphtali. Naphtali also, Al Merome Sod on the very heights of the field. There he was and he stood ready to do battle. Bo Melachim Nilchamu. Kings came and waged war. Now we have to be very careful as we go through Shira's Devorah. Within the context of the Shira, she is telling us historical facts that were not told to us in the prose part of Shoftim. In the story that preceded, not all the details of the battle were told. We find out a great deal more right here in the Shira. In the Shira, of course, we find out who it was that joined the struggle. And a lot of people that were not mentioned in chapter 4 are mentioned here in chapter 5. In chapter 4, we only knew about Zvulun and Naphtali. We didn't know about anybody else. Now we find out that there are all sorts of others who joined the battle. We find out who didn't join the battle. We also find out now that Sisra, commander-in-chief of the forces of Yavin, king of Canaan, also did not come to battle alone. But there were other kings of Canaan and elsewhere who came to the aid and the assistance of Yavin, the king of Canaan. This was a coalition of forces against Dvorah and Barak. It wasn't just one people. Bo Melachim, kings came, Nilchamu, and they waged war. Oz Nilchamu Malchei Canaan. The kings of Canaan waged war then. Wasn't Yavin king of Chatzor alone? It wasn't only Sisra, commander-in-chief of the forces of Yavin. There are others. In other words, when the moment comes that they feel either that the Jew is down or that he is helpless, so then the forces of evil coalesce, the axis, they join one another. This we weren't told this in chapter 4, but we're told it in chapter 5. Beta'anach, Almei Megiddo. What's interesting is here we find out something else about the struggle. Where did the struggle take place? The main battle between Dvorah and Barak on the one hand. Dvorah and Barak with their 10,000 men, they are on the slopes of Mount Tabor. Mount Tabor is the eastern end of Emek Yisrael. He comes down, Barak comes down from the mountain,
right nearby, only a few kilometers away, the major struggle takes place at Nahal Kishon, not far from Afula. But now we find out that there are struggles that take place at Ta'anach and Mei Megiddo. Ta'anach and Mei Megiddo are further to the west, toward the coast. Ta'anach and Mei Megiddo, there's the Tzomet Megiddo. From the Tzomet Megiddo, you can already see in the distance, you're able to see at the other end of Emek Israel, you can see the Har Tabor. But now we're told about a struggle at Ta'anach and Mei Megiddo. Farish here says that Ta'anach Ein Megiddo was the area of Jenin. In other words, we're talking right about the inn. Remember, we only travel the roads within the safer areas of Eretz. So we don't take, when we come to Megiddo or Ta'anach, we don't take the turn off to Jenin. I wouldn't anyway. So here we find out that there was a struggle that took place at Ta'anach and Mei Megiddo. Who were they? They were the kings who came to the aid and the assistance of Yavin Melech Hatzor. And take a look at what happened. Betza Kesef Lo Lakachu. They did not take money. In other words, they didn't come. They didn't come to join the struggle because they were being paid by Yavin or by Sisra. Yeah. They came, well, let's use the term for a moment, they came with Shem Shemayim. It's a holy war against the Jews. So she is a jihad. She is, Dvorah is saying two things. Number one, when the guy comes to wage war, he needs no other reason beyond the fact that it is to fight the Jew. She also wants to contrast. Take a look at this. Goyim came to help out other Sonei Yisrael, look for no reward or payment whatsoever. And how in heaven's name could there be Jews who did not join this struggle on behalf of their brothers and themselves? That's a kesef lo lakachu, payment of money they did not take. Now she says, Min Shamayim Nilchamu. Here is where she begins to give us the second dimension, the hidden dimension of the struggle. There was a battle taking place down below at Nahal Kishon, at Ta'anach, at Mei Megiddo, Har Tabor, Emek Yisrael. But the war was really being waged from heaven. In Shamayim Nilchamu, from the heavens they waged war. Hakochavim Mimisilotam, the stars from their orbit, Nilchamu in Sisra, waged war with Sisra. This was not a battle that took place only on the face of this earth in Nahal Kishon, in Emek Israel. This is a battle that is being waged from heaven itself. Nahal Kishon Gerofam, the river of Kishon swept them away. Nahal Kedumim, Nahal, a riverbed that was here from ancient times, from the beginning of creation. Nahal Kishon, the river of Kishon, Tidrichi Nafshi Oz, marched with a soul of strength. And what she's describing over here poetically is what we mentioned last week, that there was a flash flood. The waters of Nahal Kishon simply burst out from the bed of the Nahal and swept away the forces of Sisra. And as we pointed out, we know of this certainly during the course of this winter, we know a number of Nechalim that simply went over their banks, and never anybody who was caught in the path of a raging torrential river was swept away. Now, but we know about that. We also pointed out that this happened in the struggle between Napoleon and the Arab forces, the Ottoman forces in Eretz Yisrael, in the area of Nahal Kishon, in the middle of a battle, there was a cloudburst. And the cloudburst washed away the forces that were waging war with Napoleon. So the question is like this: do we look at the cloudburst as, isn't that nice? What a coincidence! Eize mikre! Or do we take a look at the cloudburst and we say, oi, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, he planned it, this is the work of God, from the very heavens they are waging war with Yavin and with Sisera. That's what Dvorah is here in the Shira to say. She's come to give the editorial comment. Make no mistake, don't think that this was just a very fortuitous circumstance. Take a look at that. What luck, what mazel, that the river swept away the forces of Sisera. This was a war that was being waged from heaven. Oz homu ikvesus, the next pasuk says, the hooks of the horses, homu, were struck. Mi daharot, daharot abirav. From the galloping and the prancing of the mighty forces. In other words, here were the, what she's describing is, here were the horse always represents strength, grace, beauty, dignity, majesty, might. That's the whole thesaurus. That's it. That's what the sus represents. Therefore, the sus being brought down, the horse being brought down, here this mighty and majestic creature, and like sort of from its very hoofs, it's torn apart. What does this bring to mind? Aha! Sus v'rochvo romavayam. The sus! And remember, the sus, this is the haftorah for Parsha B'Shalach. This is the haftorah for the Parsha of Kriyat Yamsuf. And more than that, what else does sus represent? We once learned psukim in Yeshayahu and in Hosea and in Yirmiyahu. Sus represents Mitzrayim. The wealth and the strength of Egypt was expressed through its majestic Arabian horses. Now she says, Oru Meiroz, Oru Meiroz. Here she comes and she curses the people of Meiroz. It was a town someplace near Mount Gilboa. Omar Malach Hashem, the angel of God, said, interesting, she does not say this only on her own, but an angel of God has come and told her that the people of Meiroz are cursed. Oru Arur Yoshveha, cursed are her inhabitants. Kilo Bol Ezrat Hashem, they did not come to the aid and the assistance of God. Le Ezrat Hashem, to the assistance of God, Bagi Bodim, together with all of the mighty ones who fought his struggle. We've already pointed out a number of times the significance of this pasuk. So what do you mean? Man comes to the aid of God? Man comes le'ezrat Hashem, and therefore they are cursed because they did not come to Ezrat Hashem? I think that's a little bit presumptuous to assume that man comes to help God. I mean, what does God say? B'siyata da'adam. What's he supposed to say? Lo bo'u le'ezrat Hashem. So we pointed out what it really means is that any struggle against a Jew is a battle waged against God. And God sees it this way. And we gave you a number of psukim where this is expressed. One of the places where it is expressed is in the Shira. In the Shira. Taharos Kamecha. Taharos, shatter, crush, Kamecha, those who rise up against you.
Yemincha Hashem ne'edari bakoach, Yemincha Hashem tirats oyev,
Uberov ga'oncha taharos kamecha, with your great pride, you shatter kamecha, those who rise up against you. So the Rashi there that says, Mihem hakamim, who are the ones that arise against HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Elokol hakam al Yisrael, whoever arises against Israel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees it as though he is standing up to wage war with God. Therefore, Berov ga'oncha, with your greatness, taharos, you shatter kamecha, those who rise up against you. Where else did we express this same idea that the battle against Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees it as a personal battle against him? Vayehi b'nisoah ha'aron, vayomer Moshe, Kuma Hashem, arise Hashem, v'yafutsu oyevecha, your enemies should be dispersed, v'yanusu misanecha mipanecha, and those who hate you shall flee from before you. Who are the oyevei Hashem, Rashi asks? Who are the sonei Hashem? Who are the enemies and those who hate God? Ella, anybody who is oyev v'sonei, who hates Klal Yisrael, hates God. And therefore, the struggle that takes place is not only the struggle of Klal Yisrael, it is the battle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is waging. And therefore, cursed are the people of Meiroz, ki lo ba'u le'ezrat Hashem, they did not come to assist God. Interesting, I believe, the fact that she says that a Malach Hashem is the one who told her this. Maybe she did not want on her own. She would not have wanted to curse Jews on her own. But here she receives a message through a Malach Hashem that people who are right there in the area. This is even worse. Remember, about Reuven, she had said earlier the fact that Reuven separated himself and didn't come. Gedolim chikikei leiv. This is something we have to give thought to. Why didn't they come? But she doesn't curse Reuven. She just asks, maybe the rhetorical question, why did you stay there? Why did you stay there with your sheep and you didn't come? But people who were living Bahar HaGilboa, most probably they were able to hear the sounds of battle from where they were living. And Ke'ilu, it doesn't affect them. Nich meint me nicht. It has nothing to do with me. Yes, sir.
Isn't that interesting? I answered her question.
So here there's a curse, and even on this curse, it's because she receives the word from the Malach Hashem. Oru oru Yisrael, ki lo bo le'ezrat Hashem. What an unusual pasuk. They didn't come to help out God. And God needs our help. You know what? God does want our help. He wants our help. There is a partnership. A partnership that was entered into between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our task in the world is to reveal the concealed God, reveal Him in history, show Him to the world, make Him manifest. As we've said so often, Jew takes a glass of water and he says, Abracha Shahakol Miebetvara, what he's doing is he is revealing the presence of God in this glass of water. And we have been revealing him in glasses of water and apples and oranges and bread and in benching throughout all of history. Our task, therefore, is to reveal him, and his task is to wage our wars for us. So here she is. The people of Meiroz are cursed for not having come. Tevorach minoshim Yael. On the other hand, from amongst women, let Yael be blessed. Eshet Chever Akeni, the wife of Chever Akeni, minoshim ba'ohel tevorach. From women in the tent, she is blessed. If you have been watching through the Shira, you will find a constant repetition of words, which gives the Shira its beat, and it gives it a rhythm of poetry. Tevorach minashim Yael, and the end of the pasuk minashim va'ohel tevorach, which means the pasuk begins with tevorach and the pasuk ends with tevorach. Now it's a pasuk that talks about Yael so that it has like quotation marks around it, blessing at the beginning, blessing at the end. Yes.
Baruch Antoine Neil, Hidden Lord, Long Shakur. What did Rabbi Akiva ascend with Yael? Did he ascend with
There you go. Mayim Sha'al, he asked for water. Cholav Natana, she gave milk. Beseifel Abdirim, in a bowl, a saucer, a cup of the mighty. In other words, we're talking about a very beautiful cup. Hikriva Chema, she brought to him Chema, the shamenet that is on the milk. And then as she does this, with one hand she seems to be giving him the milk. Yada Layatei Tishlachna, she sent her hand to the steak of that tent, V'yemina L'halmut Amelim, and her right hand in order to crush the tired and the exhausted. Now, see, the same term is being used with regard to Sisera, with respect to Sisera, as was used with regard to the horses. Oz Holmu Ikvesus, the Helem. The Helem is the blow that shocks. And here, Yadala Yateid Tishlachna V'yemina L'halmut Amelim, Holma Sisra Mochako Rosho Mochatsov Becholfo Rakato. Fascinating number of verbs used one after another. In the poetic style of Devorah, the verbs one after another give you a sense of heightened and quickened action that is done with such decision. Take a look. Vaholma, she
pierced.
Machakarosho, crushed its head. I have to find all the words. Machatzah, broke. Cholforakato, it goes straight through his head. I mean, number one, you have to read them. You have to read them quickly. The whole pasuk, you read the whole pasuk in just one breath. Benishimacha, what you have is a pasuk that is action, determination. Done with a sense of purpose, a mission. Yada layatein tishlachna v'yemino lahalmut amilim v'hol ma sisra mochakar rosho mochatzah cholfo rakato. And then what happens? Devorah, the Shira of Devorah happens to be unique in the sense that it is the Shira that most probably paints the most the sharpest images, extremely sharp images. If you just let the words talk to you and you listen to them, there's a picture. You can imagine it. Bein ragleho, between her legs, kara, he bent, nafal, he fell, shachav. Do you see how three words are used to describe every step of what happens? Kara, nafal, shachav. Bein ragleha, kara, nafal. Ba'asher kara, shom, nafal, shadud. Again, the action, the picture, between her very feet, kara, he bent, nafal, he fell. Ba'asher kara, on the spot, right there, where he bent, shom, nafal, shadud. There he fell, having been, There he fell dead. Yes. So that there are a lot of verbs. If you read them carefully, it raises a certain degree of tension. You feel what's happening. You see it. You can imagine it. And remember, what also is important over here is the fact that of all the great commanders in chief of the kings of Kedar, the only one who fell into the hands of his enemies was Sisera. Now the scene switches, and here comes one of the most moving scenes of the Shira. Moving. Sort of, you know, the cut. We know already what happened to Sisera. Kora, Nafal, Shachav, Bein Ragleha, Kora, Nafal. We know that he's dead, but his mother doesn't know yet. And Amama, it would seem, on one level, is a mamad. But let's be careful as we read the next few psukim. Ba'ad ha'chalon nishkefa. From the window she looks out. Va'tiyabeb ein Sisra. And the mother of Sisra moans, groans, aches. Ba'ad ha'eshnab. From the eshnab. An eshnab sort of is a window. Well, we use eshnab is used when you come to a teller in the bank. You stand behind the eshnab in banks that have eshnab. In this country, there's no eshnab. Yesh mil daber, in this country. The eshnab, according to some of the Mefarshim, the eshnab is sort of a lattice work over the window. In other words, the chalon is the open area, and then there's a very beautiful, we're talking about a palace, and there's very beautiful lattice work, and she's looking out. She's looking out. Don't we know the feeling of a mama who's waiting for a child to come home? Sisra is a richta mensch. Sisra has a mama. The mother of Sisra, a mama's a kid. The mother, she looks out, she's looking out of the window. We know already. We know what's happened. But she looks out the window. And what is she thinking? The description is so powerful. Madua boshesh richbo lavo. Why does his chariot tarry from coming? He's late. Boshesh means to be late. On that terrible day, the 17th day of Tammuz, when Moshe was up on the mountain and Klal Yisrael was waiting for Moshe to come down, Boshesh Moshe, Moshe is delayed. They expect him to come, and that brings them to make an egel. So there she is. Why is he late? Madua echeru pa'amei markevaltav. Why are the steps of his chariot, why are they delayed? Why are they late? Why is he ma'acher? I'm wondering whether she even utters these words out of her mouth. Simply stated, it may be she has her ladies in waiting all around her, and they see the mother of Sisra, the mother of the commander-in-chief, looking out the window. She may ask it, or those around her may assume, just by watching her standing at the window, they know precisely what's going on in her mind. The mama is concerned, when is he going to come? The wise of her mistresses answer, and Afi Toshiv Amorehola, she will also answer in a similar way. What is the answer that they tell one another? Ah, Halo Yinsu, they found Yechalku Shalol, they're dividing the spoil. There must be so much spoil, so much booty, so much loot, so much that they've taken. Till they divide it all. Racham, racham atayim l'dosh geva. Racham means a womb. One womb or two wombs. One Jewish woman or two Jewish women l'dosh geva for each man. Shlal tzvaim l'sisra. There is spoil of all sorts of colored clothing for Sisra. You know, beautiful things that they're taking from the Jews. Shlal tzvaim rikma. All sorts of colored clothing that are embroidered. Tzevar rikmatayim l'tzavarei shalal. Embroidered, colored clothing for the to put around the neck as part of the shalal. Just listen to all the words over again. You hear the tzlil, the sound of the words shalal, racham, rachmatayim, the repetition shalal tzvaim. How many times does it say shalal? Shalal, 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 twice shalal, twice shalal, twice shalal. Four times in the pasuk, loot, spoil, booty, they take again. Women. And you know what? For all intents and purposes, this shira ends right here. Because we know what's going to happen. It's going to get darker, the day is going to end, and all of a sudden, what the mother of Sisra really suspects deep down in her heart, she's going to find out is true. She's going to find out that it's true. the word that is used here by the mother of Sisera is a word from which we learn a major halacha. It says, as she looks out of the window, Vatiyabev ein Sisera, the mother of Sisera is miyabev. What does miyabev mean? Cry. But there are different words for crying. Well, there's miyalel. For example, the Gemara Masechta Rosh Hashanah says that on Rosh Hashanah we are supposed to blow tekiah, truah, tekiah. That's what the Torah says. You're supposed to blow tekiah, truah, tekiah. You're supposed to blow, for that matter, tekiah, truah, tekiah three times, a total of nine different sounds of the shofar. But we end up with so many more sounds of the shofar. I mean, nine sounds of the shofar should take a minute or two. Why do we blow me'ar kolot? We blow 100 kolot. So part of the reason is, first of all, because when it's said in the Torah, truah, we're not certain what does the Torah mean. Gemara says, does the Torah mean what we call shvadim? Or does the word truah mean what we call truah? Since we don't know which one it means, so therefore we sound all of the possibilities. True tekiah, shvarim tekiah. Every truah or shvarim has to have a tekiah before it and a tekiah after it. So we blow tekiah, shvarim tekiah. We blow tekiah, truah tekiah. But maybe it's the two of them together. So therefore we also blow tekiah, shvarim, truah tekiah. There is a fourth possibility which the Gemara rejects. The Gemara says, why don't we also blow tekiah, truah, shvarim, tekiah? In other words, we blow shvarim, truah. But we don't blow So the Gemara says, because when a person begins to cry, and that's what the truah represents. The truah represents, as the Targum says, yelola. Yelola. Yelola is sort of the wine of the hyena, yelilat tanim. But the Gemara says it could mean, a truah could be either yelola or yevava. What is a yevava? At the yabeg ein sisra. Not the hysterical cry of ta 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 ta, but the cry of oi, oi, oi. And therefore we don't blow trua shvarim, because trua usually follows shvarim. In other words, first one begins to ache, and then it becomes the hysterical sound of the trua. Taisis brings, why do we therefore blow 100 sounds of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah? Kineged meya payas de paya ima de sisra. It corresponds to the 100 aches and groans that were sounded by the mother of Sisra. The Kabbalah they had that the mother of Sisra on that day detrechtzed 100 times. So therefore, can you imagine, on the great Yom Hadin, we blow the shofar 100 times to correspond to the mother of Sisera. But we have to understand what that means. On one level, you might think that what this means is, take a look at how open-minded and broad-hearted we Jews are. We krecht for the mother of Sisera. The mother of Sisera krechts 100 times on the great Yom Hadin. We do that too. That's not what the Torah is saying. That's not what the halacha means. We don't krecht for the mother of Hitler, Yimach Shemayim. Sisera was a Hitler. Sisera Bismano was Haman Bismano was Hitler Bismano. What's fascinating is the word Batiyabev is only used by the mother of Sisera. What does it say with regard to Rachel? Rachel, mivaka al baneha. She cries. The term bechia, crying, is used with regard to the imahos. With regard to Rachel and Achana, they cry. They cry. What's the difference between bechia, crying, and yevava,
moaning. I don't even know how to translate Yevava. Wailing. Wailing. Yes, wailing.
In one of the Soloveitchik's shiurim, he differentiates between b'chia and yevava, and it is related to, he relates it to another pasuk. V'hoya b'yom ha'hu yitaka b'shofar gadol uvo ha'ovdim be'eretz Ashur v'anidachim be'eretz Mitzrayim. On the great day when the shofar is going to be sounded, those who are lost in the land of Ashur are going to return, and those who are dispersed in the land of Mitzrayim, all are going to return and are going to bow down before God. Bahar HaKodesh b'Yerushalayim. Bahar HaKodesh b'Yerushalayim. So he says, what's the difference between Oved and Nidach? The difference between Oved, one who is lost, and one who is Nidach, in a sense rejected, is the difference between Ashur and Mitzrayim. Ashur and Mitzrayim were two different kinds of exile. The exile of Mitzrayim, we know what it was. The exile of Mitzrayim was suffering, torture, pain, punishment, death. Mitzrayim comes from the word tsar. It was difficult for Klal Yisrael. Mitzrayim was concentration camps. That's what the Golos Mitzrayim was. Golos Ashur, the exile of Ashur, was completely different. Jews in Ashur, those, the 10 tribes who were taken off, came and were brought to countries where they became part of the society. Not only that, they became wealthy, they became prominent and powerful, but they lost touch with their roots. They became ovdim. They were lost, assimilated, intermarried. There they were in their beautiful, beautiful homes out there in Ashur, but they had lost the lifeblood of Yiddishkeit within them. They had lost touch. They had lost touch with reality. The Nidach is a great deal easier to save than the Oved. The Nidach is obviously suffering terribly, but all you have to do is take him out of the concentration camp. All you have to do is take him out of that Mitzrayim, and he's back to his roots. He never lost his roots in Mitzrayim. But the Jew who's out there, Oved, has been lost, submerged by a culture and a society, and for all we know, a religion that is completely different, and that is the precise opposite of Yiddishkeit, the Oved. Oh, that's difficult. There's always hope for the Nidach. Never can never be certain what's going to happen with the Oved, and therefore the prophet in Yeshayahu indeed says, "Ohayah b'yamahu," and it will come to pass on that day when the great shofar will be sounded. So who'll come first? Uvo ha'ovdim be'eretz Ashur, the hanidachim be'eretz Mitzrayim. They have to bring back those ovdim me'eretz Ashur, because a lot of work is going to have to be done that they should not be lost completely. The difference is between hope and hopelessness. That's the difference between b'chiyah, crying. There are moments, first of all, where a good cry is most probably the healthiest thing for a human being. A human being is suffering, it's terrible, and then person keeps it all locked up inside, tied up in knots. The moment that one bursts out in Bechi, there's a sense of being freed. Is there besser of an Herzen? A good is geweint. And there's a sense of being freed from the terrible pressure of all of that pain that is locked up inside a person. Bechia, by the way, and this is extremely important, is a word that can be used in a very positive sense as well. One can cry tears of joy. When Yosef finally sees little brother Binyamin and he grabs him, it says, Vayeik al Tzavarov, he cried on his shoulder. Those were tears of joy. A Yevava is never joy. a yavava is never joy. A yavava isn't even b'chia, isn't even crying.
What happens if the Rachel mevaka al baneha? Rachel over there called the Rama Nishma, the voice is heard in Rama, nihi b'chi tamrudim, an ache and b'chi tamrudim, very bitter crying. Who is it? It's Rachel mevaka al baneha. Rachel crying for her children. May Amalihi Nachem, she refuses to be consoled. Al Baneha, because of her children. Ki einenu, because they aren't. What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response to Bechia? Do you know what comes after Bechia? Yesh Sachar Lefulatech, Yesh Tikva Liacharitech, Vishavu Vanim Ligvulam, and Vishavu Me Eretz Oyev. If min ikolech mi bechi ve'einayich mi dima. Okay, we got the whole, all the parts of the pasuk, but not in order. Very good. All the parts of the pasuk. After bechia, after crying, there's hope. First of all, the crying itself releases so much tension and ache and pain. If person feels better, but it's a good day, he's given to feel better. But more than that, what do we say so often in the davening of Rosh Hashanah and Kippur? Rebbeinu Shlalom, take dimoteinu, take our tears and put them benodcha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the tears of Klal Yisrael and he puts them bebeit ginazav, he puts it in his treasure house. Safe, to save the deposit, he keeps the tears of Klal Yisrael. The tears of Bechia are always, always that which bring forth ultimately hope. Yesh tikva, there's always hope after Bechia. Do you know what Yevava is? The cry of absolute, total despair. The cry of despair that is only going to end in tragedy. There is no freedom that comes after Yevava. There is no release that comes after Yevava. Yevava ends with absolute tragedy. And you know what? Imagine the mother of Sisera. The mother of Sisera is looking out the window. When is my Chachkala going to come home? Is this the first time she's looked out of the window? Not the first time she's looked out of the window. You know what? She knows precisely what she raised over here. She raised a killer. She raised a beast. She raised a child, and she trained him, and she encouraged him. Victory on the field of battle. Blood, killing, death, destruction. And it's all well and good as long as he comes home from the field of battle with the spoil. With the halo of victory. But someplace in the back of her mind, and she most probably has never dared to express it verbally, she knows, like a mother knows, a mother of Hitler knows. Someday it may very well end tragically. There may come the day when he's never going to return home. Because the evil that he is going to destroy him and destroy him utterly. She's looking out of the window, and it may be even in some kind of a nervous way her maidservants around her are trying to console her. Do they begin to suspect already that the horrible has happened? No, there's sort of this nervous, light-hearted chatter. Spoil, women, clothing, colored clothing, beautiful. Ah, what a great day it's been. But you know what? The mama suspects. We don't blow 100 sounds of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah because we identify with the pain of the mother of Sisera. She deserved every bit of pain. Do you know what the Yevava of Rosh Hashanah represents? A reminder. I get angry with it.
the Yevava of the mother of Sisera, in a sense, on Rosh Hashanah, don't we also read about Sarah and Rachel and Hannah? And what's being done is the contrast. A Yiddish imam is a Sarah, a Rachel, a Hannah. A Jewish response is Bechia. Evil, and what do we say in Rosh Hashanah davening and in Yom Kippur? Chol harisha, chol hazadon, all that, destroy it completely from the face of this earth. V'chein tein tagdokal kol ma'asecho v'hein moskal kol ma'asheh barosa v'yiro'ucho kol ha'masim v'yishtachavu l'fanecho kol ha'bruim v'yosu chulam aguda achas. Then chol harisha, something like that, you know, all evil shall be eradicated. What's happening in the shofar, the sound of the shofar, there's the shofar gadol, which is the hope, and then there's the yevava of the mother of Sisera, that is absolute despair and hopelessness. What the yevava of the mother of Sisera represents is the path of evil must end with absolute, total, and utter destruction. That's the way it's going to end. Make no mistake. Don't for a moment think that because there's great success now, and there's spoil, and there's booty, and there's loot, and all sorts of great things that one comes back with from the field of battle, that's not the way it's going to end. The end of all Yevava, the end of all Yevava is absolute total destruction. The end of Bechia is the beginning. And therefore she ends the Shira now by saying, Kein yovdu kol oyevecha Hashem, so shall be destroyed and lost the ovdim. Kein yovdu, so shall be lost kol oyevecha Hashem. Kuma Hashem v'yafutu oyevecha v'yanusu misanecha mipanecha. Again the same idea, so shall be lost ovdim completely kol oyevecha Hashem v'ohavav, and those who love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Klal Yisrael, say Hashemesh Bigurato, shall be like the sun rising in all of its strength and all of its might. Batishkot Haaretz Arba'im Shana, and the land was quiet, tranquil for 40 years. Yes. Not only the cry of Esav comes back to haunt us, according to the Medrash that says that because Esav cried out Za'aka Gedola Umara, therefore it says by Mordechai, Umordechai Yotza, Mordechai went out into the streets of Shushan and he cried Za'aka Gedola Umara. Remember, there was also the cry of Hagar and Yishmael, and God hears Hagar and Yishmael. In a sense, as it says by Hagar and Yishmael, that God looked at him ba'asher husham, how he is then. And the Malachim, Rashi brings the Medrash that the Malachim said, Rebbeinu Shlalem, this Yishmael who is going to cause such terrible suffering to your children, him you now provide with water and you save him. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now what is he? Is he tzaddik or rasha? He's tzaddik? Okay. I judge him as he is now. Esav and Yishmael were not yet the Rishoyim of Yishmael and Esav. But remember, that same Esav that we are concerned about, his Zaka Gedola, Olum Moshim Bahar Tzion Lishpot Et Har Esav V'Haytal Hashem Amlucha. Do I have to go through all of the places in Tanakh where it says about the utter destruction that is going to befall Esav? Chazon Ovad Yeko Amar Hashem Olekim Le'edom Shmu HaShemanu Mi'es Hashem V'tzir Vagoyim Shulach Kum Uvona Kuma Olecha Lamil Chama Zedon Lipcha Hishiyecha Shokhti V'chag B'Selem Rom Shifto Omer Miyodi Deni Oretz Im Tag B'Yakanesha V'im Ben Kochavim Simkinecha V'Shom Oritcha Mi'om Hashem. Should I keep going? I don't think I can. That sounded very good. That's the Nevuah of Ovadia that talks about the destruction of Esav. Because of the violence that you did to your brother Yaakov, you should be covered with shame. You should not have come into the gates of Yerushalayim on the day that Yerushalayim was destroyed. What does David HaMelech say? He describes Esav Edom as having said at the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Oru, Oru, Ad HaYisodba.
destroy the city utterly.
That's the Esav, that's the Edom that we are talking about. About him, that Esav Edom who becomes the terrible Rosh, about him we say, Kein Yotu, Kol Yevecha Hashem, so shall be lost and destroyed. And you see that the idea of Oved is so much worse than the word Nidach. Ki lo yidach mi menu nidach pasek. No nidach, no dispersed shall ever be cast away from God completely. But in Oved, look what can happen to Oved. Kein yovdu kol ayivecha Hashem. What a magnificent shira. Shira's Devorah, if you keep going over it and you learn the meaning of the words and you read it, and sometimes what you have to do is to be able to read it sort of all in one moment and get all of the pictures. There is no other Shira that paints such pictures. Everybody can imagine and remember in their own way the mother of Sisera looking out of the window, her maid servants around her trying to console her and comfort her. Nothing to worry about. Zadzavnish, the Sisera, don't worry, he's coming soon. And can you imagine all of those moments? There's a rider, there's a chariot. It's the mailman. Like it's not Sisera. It's not Sisera what she goes through. Yes. Zum Gesegnen. Oh, I don't want this Gesegnen over here, but these Rishayim. What does it mean for Ohavav Kitzeit Hashemesh Bikvudato? What is the image of Ohavav Kitzeit Hashemesh Bikvudato? Yes. Why Tzeit Hashemesh? Those who love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is meant by Tzeit Hashemesh? Well, what image do you have? What picture do you have of Tzeit Hashemesh? Bringing light into the world, all right?
The rising of the sun in the morning.
The rising of the sun. What does the rising of the sun represent? What does it symbolize?
Light,
hope. All right, keep going. Light, hope, knowledge, kiner mitzvah v'torah, or keep going. Mechadesh, yeah, good. Mechadesh v'tuvah v'chol yom tamid ma'aseh bereishit. What about
Sandy Eisenman? Geula.
What is how does the Gemara describe Geula? Two Chachamim who are walking through Bikat Arbel, the valley of Arbel, and they saw the dawn beginning. Kachi Geulatam Shel Yisrael. This is the redemption of Israel. Kima, little by little. But that's the beginning of Geula. The beginning of Geula is dawn. Tzeit Hashemesh Bigvurato is already Geula in all of its. In all of its great strength, in all of its might. Yes.
I know many people when they hear even today of someone, a son of Israel, dying or getting killed, they quote the pasuk.
This pasuk, Kein Yovdu, Kol Ayivecha Hashem, has become sort of a word. Azay, Kein Yovdu, Kol Ayivecha Hashem. But as I say, it's important to learn to appreciate Shiraz Devorah, and Shiraz Devorah is really paints indelible pictures. There are of course other places in the Nevi'im where the Nevi'im paint pictures and portraits for us that are magnificent, but here there are so many different ones. You can imagine the forces of Borah coming down the mountain, the waters of the Kishon overcoming the forces of Sisera. What takes place by Yael, she crushed, she banged, she hit, she killed, and she, as we get the description of him, Korah, Shochav, Nafal, if words can ever really paint a magnificent picture, here it is. And maybe also I remember once hearing somebody say that when I talked earlier about the concern or compassion for the mother of sisters, because I once heard somebody, people say that, take a look how broad-minded Yiddishkeit is, how Yiddishkeit is concerned for every kind of a mama, even the mother of sister, and therefore on Rosh Hashanah, therefore we blow 100 blessings. It's not true. I want to make that point. That point is very important to me. It's not true. It's not so. We we know what is evil and we know what is good. The mother of Sisera, Sisera does not develop without a mother of Sisera. And so that, you know what? All the other women, and there are a number of women involved over here, we have their names. Right? We know Yael, and we know Devorah. Right? Yael and Devorah. In the Sedra we had, in Parshat B'Shalach we had Miriam. Why is the mother of Sisera called the mother of Sisera? You know why? Very profound answer. Because she's the mother of Sisera. Whatever Sisera is, it's what she made him. Well, huh? What about Esau? Oh, so that's a... First of all, don't make me in trouble. Number two. So for that, no, I must say, my wife is asking a very good kasha. It's a very good kasha. It's on tape. Yeah, I want everybody to know that she's asking a very good kasha. If I wouldn't have said that, I'll have a lot of trouble when I come home, you know. There'll be ovdim and nidachim. No, it's no, the kasha is a good kasha. And to answer, I can't answer the question on a simple level. The only level I can answer it is, say, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi in the Kuzri. Talks about the fact that, remember, even Avraham Avinu came from a family of Ovdei Avodah Zarah. There were things in the genes that had to be removed. Avraham had two children, Yitzchak and Yishmael. Yishmael took off part of the what term should I use?
Related to Laban.
Yeah, right. This part of the negative strains in the genes. Along came Yitzchak, and he had twins, Yaakov and Esav. So Esav was again the removal in Kabbalah. It's referred to as the removal of the Zohama, the pollution in the strains of the genes. And then comes Yaakov, and Yaakov, as the Gemara says, Mitoso Shlema, his bed was complete. 12 tzaddikim. In other words, all those who issue forth from Yaakov are all tzaddikim. No, so the Torah understands that Avram began with all sorts of strains that had to be removed from the genes, and that was Yishmael and Esav. So, and remember, his mother also had strains in her. You're talking about the mother of Esav. She was Rivka, Baz Besuel, Ha'arami, Achos, Lavan Ha'arami, Mit Azav Tate, and Azav Brude. Where was it all going to go? It went out via Esav. Yes. Zed da'ato shel Rav Yehuda Halevi, the Sefer HaKuzri. Al zed banui Sefer HaKuzri. Very good. All right, I had wanted to go into Gidon already, but I think we're not going to go into Gidon. Your homework for March 3rd, I think it is, March 3rd or 4th, you should go through all the Prokem of Gidon. The Prokem of Gidon are really 6, chapter 6, 7. 7, does it go into 8? Let's take a look. 8. Wait a minute. Yeah, and chapter 8. 3 chapters. You know, you do a chapter a week. 3 chapters. 6, 7, and 8. Not enough? Alright, then do chapter 9. That's Yiftach. No, you know what? I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Gidon is chapter 9 also. 4 chapters. A chapter a week. 6, 7, 8, 9. Now, in the middle of these chapters, aside from the stories, there is the Moshel of Yotam, where the trees of the forest want to anoint a king over them. Very fascinating few psukim. It would do my heart a lot of good if when I walk in Yetz Hashem a month from now, and we start talking about these 4 chapters, you will talk about them with intelligence and insight and intuition. So first of all, I'll feel that I didn't waste your time by being away for a month, and you'll gain more from it. Anyway, I'm going to miss you. Okay.